Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, December 12th, 2021, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the little people have been working on the Christmas play for all month, and they have been doing a fantastic. I stay away. Let them work on their play. They have memorized their lines. They know them inside and out. And every year it's better. And Debbie is the. She has the gift of Christmas play. It's a special spiritual gift. And it gets better every year, and I don't think it can be better, and it's always better every single year. And with kids, one thing with kids, you never know exactly. It doesn't always follow the script. But it'll be fantastic. And this is the time to have bring people and hear the good news about Jesus Christ from the little people. A lot of times they won't hear from you as adults, but they'll listen to the little people proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I was wrong. I said that there's no professional sport that other than rodeo that has outspoken Christians that you can actually hear on being interviewed on TV, but I was wrong. The senior tour has a fellow named Bernhard Langer, 64 years old. He is a great, great golfer and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he always talks about Jesus Christ and gives the glory to Christ every time. They'll ask him, how did you, here you are, 64 year old, how did you win this tournament? Well, a Christian friend of mine called me and he said, Bernhard, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And that's all I thought about while I was out there. Every shot I just thought about, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I won. But you're beating guys 20 years younger than you. Yeah. Bernhard Langer fits in that category. And also, the professional women's golf tour, the Koreans, South Korean girls, lots of them are Christians, outspoken Christians. One of the top on the tour is Jin Young Ko from South Korea. And she gave a beautiful testimony of Jesus Christ. And so, golf, women's golf, and Bernhard Langer, the senior tour 64-year-old, he's still whipping up on these other guys. And a very outspoken Christian, not ashamed or afraid of hurting somebody's feelings or something. We are in a society of such apostasy and degeneracy that you have to show diversity and inclusiveness, and all roads lead to Rome, so all religions lead to heaven. No, they don't. All religions don't lead to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Christ. Period. That's it. All religions don't lead to heaven. And this, when you become apostate and degenerate, you operate the way socialists and Democrats do. And it's destroying our nation. Absolutely destroying our nation. Now, we got some people in the church, they got these stickers. They go to the gas pump. He has a finger pointing at the price of the gas. It says, I did this, and it's Joe Biden. I was at this store, and I'm getting back into my Hummer, and this lady came up to me. She said, do you mind if I ask you a question? How do you like your Hummer? I said, I love my Hummer. Well, I mean, how do you rate it compared to other? It's the best vehicle I have ever owned. I will never, ever own a vehicle as great as this. This was the best one ever. Wow, I was thinking about getting my husband one. She said, not this Christmas, but anyway, I was thinking about getting him one. I just wanted to know what you really thought. I said, well, I had the original engine in it for 300,000 miles and they just replaced it with another Hummer engine. So I'm good for 300,000 more miles. Well, at least the Hummer is. I don't think I am, but I think the Hummer's good for 300,000 more miles. She said, how about gas mileage? I said, well, when Trump's president, it's not bad. When the lousy Democrats are president, it's hard to put gas in it. But I said, I don't care what it costs. I said, it's the best vehicle. I don't need roads. I don't need roads with that. I go where there are no roads, or there are very bad roads. And I go taking it on hunting trips up over the tops of mountains. I've taken it on fishing trips. I've taken it to the state of Washington again and again and again. And so, it's awesome. And she said, well, I know they don't make them here anymore. I said, no, and now China bought them out, and China's making them, and they're now making electric ones, and somebody asked me, were you going to get an electric Hummer? I said, hell no, I'm not getting an electric Hummer. I don't want anything from China. I won't buy anything from China. When I go Christmas shopping, I don't buy anything from China. I mean, they already gave us COVID. What more can they give us? So I go into stores and say, where's the things made in America? You can't hardly find anything made in America. Where's the things made in America? And then they said, well, we have some things here made in Italy. They showed me the price. Holy crap. They're going to have to give me a double my salary before I start Watch out for the things made in Italy. All of that is free of charge. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, corrected translation says, "What then shall we say? What then do we conclude? That Abraham, our human forefather, has found, has discovered in this matter." Now, the Jewish people look with pride at their human forefather, Abraham. And so does the Apostle Paul. And that's why he spends an entire chapter with Father Abraham and the pattern for salvation for the whole human race. And the pattern for spiritual maturity for the whole human race. So, one. However, Abraham was not a Jew by physical birth. Abraham was not a Jew by physical birth. Two, Abraham was born a Gentile. He was born an Akkadian and lived in the Sumero-Akkadian Empire of Ur-Nammu, the founder of the third dynasty of Ur. And in Abraham's day, Ur was a great and prosperous city. So Abraham was born a Gentile. Three, Abraham was saved as a Gentile. He was saved as a Gentile before he was 75 years old, and before he left Ur of the Chaldees, he believed in Jesus Christ, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. So Abraham was saved as a Gentile before he was 75 years old. We don't know the exact date of his salvation, but we do know he was saved before he left Ur. Four, Abraham became the very first Jew when he reached spiritual maturity at the age of 99 and was circumcised. That's when Gentile Abram became the very first Jew of history. So Abraham was saved as a Gentile before he was 75 years old and before he left Ur, and he became the first Jew when he advanced to spiritual maturity at the age of 99 and was circumcised. Five, so Abraham was saved at least 25 years before he became the first Jew. He was saved at least 25 years before he became the first Jew. Now, I'm giving you these ages, 75 and 99. How old did he live? I'm glad you asked that. Point six. Abraham was 175 years old when he died. 175 years old when he died. So when he was circumcised and became the first Jew at 99, he had 76 more years. Seven, Abraham was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping the works of the law. Abraham was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping the works of the law. Why? Because, one, there was no Mosaic law. And two, he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. I thought we were all going to dance for a second. Abraham was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping the works of the law, because, one, there was no Mosaic law, and two, he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Gentile. Now, the Apostle Paul faces great opposition from legalistic Jews because he teaches dogmatically that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by keeping the works of the law. Paul teaches that everywhere he goes. And as a result of that, he is facing great opposition from legalistic Jews. 8. So Abraham establishes the pattern that justification is by faith and not by the works of the law. So Abraham establishes the pattern that justification is by faith and not by the works of the Mosaic law. Nine. I thought we were going to go dancing or something there for a second. Salvation, was it for me? No, it wasn't for me. I have to ask. I know you all feel like you cannot live without having a cell phone with you. It's become a part of your body. Now, when children are born, they're born, come out of the womb with a cell phone attached to their body. And they act like they cannot even live unless they have a cell phone. You're idiots! Life without cell phones is wonderful. I have life without cell phone. One of the things that perturbs me to no end is all of you have cell phones. I call you and you never answer it. You never, ever answer it. Why in the hell do you have one? I don't have one. So go ahead and call me. Watch out what you call me now. So Abraham sets a pattern for the justification is by faith and not by the works of the law. 9. Salvation is always the same. Faith alone in Christ alone apart from any and all works. It's always the same. Throughout all of human history, it's always the same. Faith alone in Christ alone apart from any and all works. 10. Abraham was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. 11. Abraham could not be saved by the works of the Mosaic law because there was no Mosaic law. Abraham could not be saved by the works of the Mosaic law because there was no Mosaic law. And here are all these Jews. Father Abraham. Boy, Father Abraham is, he's number one. I follow Father Abraham. Abraham was saved as a Gentile. He was saved when there was no Mosaic law at all. He didn't keep a Mosaic law. There was no Mosaic law. There were no Jews when he believed in Jesus Christ. 12. Abraham was saved long before the Mosaic law existed. He was saved long before the Mosaic law existed. 13. If Abraham was justified by faith apart from works, then it follows that justification is always by faith in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament times and in the New Testament times. And that was Romans 3:28. So then we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, by means of faith, totally apart from the works of the law. So Romans 4:1, what then shall we say? What then do we conclude that Abraham, our human forefather, has found, discovered in regards to this manner? Verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, we have the post-positive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae with the indicative of dikaiao plus the proper noun avraam plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of ergon. The post-positive conjunction gar. The post-positive conjunction gar. This is an emphatic gar. It's correctly translated, in fact, indeed, but really, certainly. And then we have the conditional particle A plus the indicative. A plus the indicative. When you have AE plus the indicative, it introduces a first-class condition. This is called the first-class condition of supposition. In other words, for the sake of argument, the Apostle Paul is taking an assumption. Let's assume that Abraham was justified by works, like you Judaizers are declaring and fighting about. For the sake of argument, let's assume Abraham was justified by works, as you legalistic Judaizers say he was. The first class condition of supposition is a debater's technique. It assumes that something is true in order to prove that it is totally false. That's why it's used. And then Avraham, again, is Abraham. Abraham is the test case. And then the verb dikaiao. You're very familiar with this now after Romans 3. Dikaiao. D-I-K-A-I-O long O. Dikaiao means to justify, to vindicate, literally to declare one to be righteous. At the moment of faith in Christ, God imputes his righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. In this first class condition of supposition, the constative aorist views all the works that Abraham supposedly did to be justified. The passive voice, to receive the action of being justified, being declared righteous. The indicative mood goes along with AE to introduce the first class condition of supposition. The supposition is that Abraham was justified ek plus the genitive plural of ergon. Ek plus the genitive means by reason of, as a result of, because of. Ergon is the Greek word for works, plural, because of all of his works. So the corrected translation. In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was, like you legalistic Jews say all the time. In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was. And then we have, then he hath something of which to glory, but not before God. This is the present active indicative of echo plus kaukema plus the conjunction of contrast Allah with the objective negative u plus the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative singular of theos. Echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. All right, let's get a couple of things on this verb. One, echo means to have or to hold. To have and to hold. Two, the self-righteous legalist has and holds something here. He has and holds kalkema. K-A-U-C-H, long E-M-A, kalkema. Three, this noun, kalkema, comes from the verb kalkaomai. Isn't that a good verb? Kalkaomai. That is called an onomatopoetic word. It sounds like what it means. Kalkaomai. K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. Kalkaomai. Kalkaomai means to boast. It means to be arrogant about something. You're very arrogant about something. Boast about something. Four, therefore, kalkema means boast, the object of boasting, the basis for boasting. Means boasting, boast, the object of boasting, the basis for boasting. Five, the self-righteous legalist's basis for boasting is all the human good works that he has done. The self-righteous legalist's basis for boasting is all the human good works that he has done. He's done all these good works. Six, human beings are impressed with human beings. Human beings are impressed with human beings and all of their self-righteous works that they have done, but they're not impressed with God. Human beings are impressed with human beings and with all their self-righteous works they have done, but they are not impressed with God. Seven, God is not impressed with man's self-righteous human good works. He's not impressed at all. God is not impressed with man's self-righteous human good works. Eight, God is impressed with the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Operation Grace. He gave his eternal Son. He loved the world so much. What kind of love is that? Virtue love, impersonal love for all, based on his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He loved the world so much, he gave his Son. He designed a plan, Operation Grace, to send his eternal Son from heaven to earth. The greatest miracle the world will ever know. That first Christmas, when God took on true humanity. The greatest miracle this world will ever know. Mankind will ever know. Why? To go to a cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. And when he was on the cross, he propitiated, satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. Satisfied the righteousness of the Father because he was absolute righteousness. Satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. God is impressed with Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. Operation Grace. So we have in verse 2, in fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first-class condition of supposition. For the sake of argument, let's assume that he was. He has a basis for boasting. He has something to boast about, but not before God. Allah u prostheon. He has something to boast about, but not before God, he doesn't. Allah u prostheon. That's exactly how it looks. Allah, strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. You take what was previously stated, roll it up, chuck it in the cheap seats, and substitute this in its place. But, objective negative, ooh, absolutely not. But not. Pros plus the accusative, literally face to face with, or before, but not before God. Very, very powerful. So the conjunction Allah sets up a contrast between one, between human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. Contrast human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. Two, it sets up a contrast between man's boasting in his own self-righteous works with God's total rejection and judgment of man's self-righteous works. So it sets up a contrast between human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. Sets up a contrast between man's boasting in his self-righteous works with God's total rejection and judgment of man's self-righteous works. And third, it sets up a contrast between justification by works with justification by faith in Jesus Christ. The objective negative ooh slams the door. The self-righteous legalist who believes he is justified by his works has absolutely no basis for boasting before God. None at all. In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by work, first-class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was. He has a basis for boasting, all right. He has something to boast about, but absolutely not before God. One. Not one person, not one member of the human race will ever be in heaven on the basis of his works. On the basis of his human good, self-righteous works. Not one member of the human race. Two, salvation by works is a false gospel. There are hundreds of false gospels. There's only one true gospel. There's only one grace gospel. There are hundreds of false gospels. Salvation by works is always a false gospel and will only result in man's eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. Will only result in man's condemnation in the lake of fire. Three, salvation by works is man competing with the grace of God. Operation Grace, the incarnation plan that the Father had for the Son to solve mankind's problem of sin, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was by works, then you have a reason for boasting. But God says dogmatically, it's not of works. So you have no, absolutely no basis for boasting before God. Salvation by works is man competing with the grace of God, with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Four, salvation by works is man declaring that his self-righteousness is equivalent to the righteousness of God. Salvation by works is man declaring that his self-righteousness is equivalent to the righteousness of God. Five. Therefore, salvation by works is blasphemy. Salvation by works is blasphemy. Six, the person who believes that he is saved by his good works will stand before Jesus Christ. He will have his day in court before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and he will be condemned and thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:11-15. He will stand before Jesus Christ. Every unbeliever will stand before Jesus Christ at the last judgment, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:11-15. And he will be condemned and thrown into the lake of fire. Seven, justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, absolutely not by works. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, absolutely not by works. So again, verses 1 and 2 sound like this in Romans 4. What then shall we say? What then do we conclude that Abraham, our human forefather, has found, has discovered in this matter? Verse 2. In fact, if Abraham was justified, declared righteous by works, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, let's assume that he was, he has a basis for boasting. He has something to boast about, but absolutely not before God. One, justification is the judicial act of God, whereby God imputes his righteousness to the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Justification is the judicial act of God, whereby God imputes his righteousness to the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Two, justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Three, God's righteousness plus R and man's righteousness minus R are mutually exclusive. God's righteousness plus R and man's righteousness minus R are mutually exclusive. Four, the imputation of divine righteousness. The imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ is the only way that God can justify any member of the human race. The imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ is the only way that God can justify any member of the human race. 5. It is the righteousness that comes from God. It is the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ that justifies. It is the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ that justifies, not man's righteousness minus our by his human good works. It is the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Christ that justifies, not man's righteousness minus our by his human good works. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.